again, just we ask you to enter the space. We agree, Lord, that you have your way here. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, so that your word, which will be preached and proclaimed, will be hidden in our heart, that we might not sin against you. Help us, O Lord, that we might see Jesus and come in fellowship and communion with the relationship with you. Through this preacher moment, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us and singing a hymn. And thank you for inviting Zion to join you today in this time of worship. It truly is a blessing, the relationship and the fellowship we've been able to establish now these past over 5 years, 6 years, 4 or 5 years. And truly a blessing, and humbled to be in friendship and partnership with your pastor that I've known so many years. Amen, Pastor Eric Potter. So thank you so much, Metamora Mennonite Church. And thank you to my beloved family, Zion Baptist Church. Thank you all for coming out. Amen. Thank you to my wife bringing the kiddies out with us too. And so we are all one family worshiping together. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to talk about today about the gift and the blessing, grace. Tell your neighbor, grace is a gift and a blessing. So now I gave you the answer. Now we're going to play the game. Category is a thing. What do you call something given to you voluntarily without compensation? The answer is gift. Category is action. To confer prosperity or happiness upon someone, the answer is bless. What do you call a gift that is a blessing? I gotta start all over, Pastor. I gotta start all over. Gift and blessing is grace. Oh, y'all gonna make me preach hard today. Y'all gonna preach hard today. We just 30 seconds in. This is not going against my time. So let me answer to help you out to answer this question this way by saying a gift that is a blessing is the acceptance of a goodness towards those who cannot earn or do not deserve such gain. Grace, we know. Romans 4:4 tells us that when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. That comes when he talks about in Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We know gifts and we know wages. We do not work for God's grace, because God's love moves him to bless us with this gift that is a blessing. In return, we are to bless God in how we love, serve, worship, pray, and commune with all God's creation. Who are we to withhold the blessing that God has given us if we are even worthy to receive grace that we have? Grace is a gift and a blessing. God shows us grace so we can show others grace. So let me ask you the question one more time, make sure I didn't lose anybody. A gift and a blessing is?
Grace.
Amen. So let us first reflect on how one comes to know God's grace in their life. For this, we'll look at David and how he experienced God's grace and how he expressed this to his followers, his 600 mighty men. David has been running for his life, hiding from the rejected king of Israel, Saul. David, in hiding from King Saul, has now been found in Philistine territory. We pick this up in our text, 1 Samuel 30 chapter, where the princes of Philistine do not want David to join them in their campaign against Israel, against Saul. Now, we are picking up at the end of this great book, this 1 and 2 Samuel. Saul has mainly been the king. Samuel has been the reigning judge. David has been anointed as king, but yet he does not know it yet. How he does not know it yet, because God had to do it clandestinely with Samuel, say, go anoint who I've chosen. He didn't say, you're going to become king. He just went and anointed everybody, because everybody was like, why are you getting this boy that's washing the sheep, that we're going to wait all day for him to come out the field, and be a shepherd boy, and then you're going to anoint him and then leave. And but yet the text tells us, as when he was anointed, when he was chosen by God, the Spirit of God came upon him, and the Spirit left Saul. Saul has been rejected because he was not being obedient to the will of God. That's where we get our saying when Samuel says to Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. And so here it is. Saul has been rejected. God tells Samuel to choose David. David now is getting fame because he killed Goliath. Saul has killed his 1,000. David has killed his 10,000. David killed Goliath, who is a Philistine. But yet, because of his proudness, he has raised 600 mighty men that he can go around raiding and taking stuff like he wants, because can't nobody mess with him because he's a bad man. And so now that he's a bad man, the king Agag says, I like you. Come stay with me in my kingdom. You've been good with me. David's so slick and so sly. He says, I'm not going to attack anybody but the people south of Judah, the south of Israel. I'm going to attack their enemies and make it mine. So he's chilling, having a good time. And then he says, all right, we about to go against Saul. David, like, I'm with you. But the other princes say, nah, you know, he might turn on us if we go into war. And so they tell him, stay back. That's where we pick up in verse 6. But the Philistine commanders were angry. Send him back to the town you've given him, they demanded. He can't go into the battle with us. What if he turns against us in battle and becomes our adversary? Is there any better way for him to reconcile himself with his master than by handing our heads over to him? Isn't this the same David about whom the women of Israel sing in their dances? Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000. So Achish finally summoned David and said to him, I swear by the Lord that you have been trustworthy ally. I think you should go with me into battle, for I've never found a single flaw in you from the day you arrived until today, but the other Philistine rulers won't hear of it. So here it is that David has been pushed back, and now he does not have to go. Now, here's the background we're not going to address in this text, but what's happening is that David's now, God has it set up so that David will be innocent when he becomes king, because he won't be in the battle where Saul dies. Saul's about to die. It's over for Saul. You go back in 29th or 28th, Saul's trying to find out what's going on. He goes out of his kingdom hiding, trying to find a sorcerer to tell him, hey, what's going on? And the sorcerer tells him, you about to die, and there's nothing you can do about it. You and your children, y'all going to die tomorrow. Oh, he messed up. And so now David's not going to be a part of that, so that David can become king, and then it'll look that he cheated in here. But I want to encourage you to understand how God works things out for your favor, that sometimes he removes you from situations that you don't have to get yourself out of, that people will push you out. And it's for your benefit, not knowing God is already establishing another way for you. David has an opportunity now to go back to his family. David is blessed by God being removed, but David's been running for his life. It takes roughly 15 years for David to even get onto the throne and be a kingdom and no longer be a refugee, a wanted man trying to be killed and successfully succeed Saul. But in the meantime, we're seeing him running for his life, hiding in foreign land, and God provides protection for David. David knows how to depend on God at all times. David, as a young child, knew the Lord, delivered him from the lion and the bear. God delivered him from David. Delivered David from Goliath. Under God's protection, we still deal with life adversities. So even when David was a young man, had success, but also we find that David also deals with difficulties, adversity, objection, being crucified and being persecuted, even when he's doing and well for God, and God says he's a man after his own heart, he still deals with issues. But yet, I'm going to talk about how even under pressure, even under pain, how we too need to show grace, because God has shown grace to us. Because grace is a gift and a blessing. So they come back after Achish releases David, and they go back to Ziklag. This is where the text picks up. David goes there, and chapter 30, verse 1 says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into Negev and Ziklag, and they crushed Ziklag and burned it to
the ground.
I don't know what that will feel like because I've never came to my house and it was burned down to the ground. I don't know what it feels like because I wasn't in Atlanta, Louisiana, when Hurricane Katrina came to come back and everything is lost. But I've talked to people and they shared with me the heartache and the pain of dealing with what you love is destroyed and gone. Imagine David coming back victorious, coming back to seeing defeat. All that he loved is gone. He has two eyes. They gone. Children gone. Family gone. His men, everybody lost everything, and what they had was burnt down to the ground. This reminded me, as we're studying this, about Shakespeare. When sorrow comes, they don't come single spies, but in battalions. Another saying is that trouble comes in threes. When it rains, it pours. My dad always says that trouble comes twice. So all these sayings help us to explain that when we experience hardships in life, it's never simple. It's always complex. Am I talking to somebody here? But yet, even in the times of complexity, times of adversity, and times of dealing with difficulty, can I respond with grace? I don't know. You have to answer that for yourself. But I'm encouraging you that you can respond with grace. David's men did not respond with grace. Nope, they wanted to kill him. Matter of fact, the text tells us that they are looking to stone him because all their sons and daughters were gone. And so David shows us what grace looks like. Verse 6, David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. And they began to talk of stoning him, but David found strength in the Lord his God. See, when we are showing grace, which is a gift, we oftentimes have to show grace to those who we think don't deserve grace. Notice how they're coming at him. I teach anger management. And in teaching anger management, I often deal with people that have aggression issues. And having aggression issues, they always have one solution for the problem. I beat them down. And so that's their solution because they don't believe in grace. You attack me, I will attack you back. I got one gear, and one gear is always on 10. We going to fight. Let's go. And so then we point out that, hey, 10 seconds can change your life. How can 10 seconds change your life? Well, I can just count down from 10. In that 10 seconds moment, I have time to think, time to reflect what will be the best option. But if I operate out of my emotional impulse, I oftentimes will do the worst action first and then regretting I could have did something else second. Here it is. David does not curse him out. He doesn't tell him, I'm your master, I'm your leader, y'all need to do what I say. It says he turns to the Lord. But David found strength in the Lord. How can I respond with grace? One, I got to turn to the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you need to turn to the Lord. Some of y'all didn't say that with conviction because y'all need to talk to yourself. Tell yourself, I need to turn to the Lord. There you see, y'all caught on to that. See, in times of stress, in times of pain, let me not go to social media. Let me not go somewhere else. But first, let me check in with God. God, give me strength. I understand grace because I am a product of grace. My mother showed me grace every day of her life because the times I was getting on her last nerves, she would say this beautiful phrase, Lord, give me strength. And so I didn't know what she was talking about as a kid. I just realized, like, there she go again. But what she was saying is, like, Lord, I will take him if you don't take him. That's what she was really trying to say. But she says, Lord, give me strength. And I understood. As I got older, I walked out the room when she said, yeah, buddy, I'm out this place. Everything's going to be all right. And so what I understand grace means that how can I give somebody something they don't deserve? Find strength in the Lord. God gives us strength to do it. It's not easy in the world. The Bible tells us to turn the other cheek. I don't know about you, but I've been in places and I've been in positions, I've been in times where I had to turn the other cheek. And once I did it the first time, it was easy the second time. But I had to do it the first time first. The challenge is, will I submit and surrender and take the ridicule, take those who may talk differently about me because I'm not doing what's popular, but I'm doing what Christ calls us to do. You understand, being a Christian is not always popular. We make it sound popular, But yet being a Christian is different than being popular. Being popular is doing what's popular, doing what's acceptable. But Christ was never popular. So we need to think about it. Am I really being Christ-like, or I'm just trying to fit in? Because grace doesn't always fit in, because grace is a gift. David did not rest on his own decision, but he praised the Lord for guidance. David calls for the priest. Verse 7 and 8 of the 30th chapter. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. Now, as I studied this text, maybe it might have come to your head too. Some of you went to vacation Bible school and Bible study camps and going to places, and they were singing this song, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. David was told by God, you can go to the enemy's camp. I was at a few more witnesses in this place. And you can take back everything. They don't want to hear it. All right, I'm going to move on. That's, y'all could have been celebrating right now, so giving God glory and giving him praise for what you got. But y'all not ready for that. We'll come back to that later. All right. But God shows David favor. God answered David's prayer and encouraged David to go and do what is needed for his victory. We need to understand that when God answers our prayer, we are to participate in the process. Tell your neighbor, you got to participate in your prayers. I know that's alliteration with the P's. To slow it down, you can say it again. So tell your neighbor, you got to participate in your prayers. There you go. Because notice here, David prays to God, can I get victory? David said, God said, yeah, go do it. How oftentimes we ask God to do something for us, and we just going to sit back like, yeah, I'm waiting on you, God. Go ahead and take care of that. But God told David, you go do it. David like, bet. Roll up, fellas. We out. So David and his 600 men, y'all laughing, but that's what he said. So David and his 600 men, y'all see that there? Set out. And they came to the brook Besor. But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David continued to pursue with 400 men. Notice, what was the reason they set out? To get back everything that was lost. Everyone started out with the same goal. David's goal was to retrieve his family, his children, everything that was lost. 200 men could not go any further, but they set out with the same goal, the same purpose, the same intention to go and get. But yet 400 were only able to continue on. I want to encourage us that when we start out in a group, and it's not who's greater, who is lesser than the other, but we begin on the same path, we need to work towards the same goal and realize that we're all on the same team. Sometimes the church lose sight of his goal of living out this gospel. David and the men left to save their family. We are called, the church, to go and pursue and save our family. We have people perishing because we're not sharing the gospel with them. We talk about them, how they need Jesus. But have you introduced them to Jesus? Have you gone there to share with them how good God is? Not all are able to do this all the time, but the work still needs to be done. Luke 10, 2 and 3 tells us these were the instructions to them Jesus gave to his disciples. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, and ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. This is what Jesus tells his disciples when he sends them out to go make disciples. And here's the beautiful thing about this. He does not tell them, don't go because you don't have enough. He says, go. And while you're going, pray.
Why? So I am participating in my prayer. If I want God to save my family, am I preaching the gospel? Am I sharing the gospel? I want him to change my neighborhood. Am I knocking on doors and saying, hey, you want to come with me to church? You don't got a ride? I got a ride. Hop on in. That's, you can't make it? Well, can I come back over and share you my Sunday school lesson, my Bible study lesson? Can I share it with you? Y'all want to share everything else? You knock on the door. I got cookies. We have Jesus. Are we sharing him? And so when we understand this grace, this gospel, this gift, this blessing, we ought to share with somebody else. We need to go out to where they are. It's never comfortable. It's not going to be convenient. It's going to be difficult. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's going to be sometimes full of trouble and peril. But yet, I want you to know that outcome is always going to be the same. Jesus wins. As I think about this, the Holy Spirit just gave this from the press. This is not in my line, but I was just thinking about this, about Michael Spinks fighting Mike Tyson. And if y'all familiar with the history, you know, Michael Spinks is a great fighter. He done beat up people, champions, but he couldn't take Mike Tyson. He was down in 90 seconds. It was like, don't want these problems. He was already defeated once. Mike Tyson came in the ring. Mike Tyson, all he don't come out with no robe. He came out with a towel, with big enough cut over for his head to fit over. And coming out in black sneakers and no socks. He come out. Michael Spinks stayed in the corner, fell down in the corner. He didn't move. Ding, 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 fight over. We don't know if he even got hit. He's like, nah, I don't want no problems. What I'm trying to point out is this, that Mike Tyson already saw the victory, but he went through the pain and the hardship. Leon Spinks thought he had victory, but he saw the problem. He said, I don't want no problems. I want to encourage you that sometimes we're going to fight things that are bigger and badder than us. But yet when we know we have Jesus, he is greater than anything that's facing us. So don't get defeated by how hard it's going to be. David knew it was going to be hard, but he says, Lord, if we go, will you give us victory? God said, yeah, now go do it. Bet. Let's do it. So when you pray to God, say, God, will you give? And God tells you to go. Are you going to go? And do what he's called you to do. David pursued with grace. So they, 200 men who were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David conceded with the pursuit of the 400 men. Verse 11, along the way, they found an Egyptian man in a field brought to him. They gave him some bread to eat and water to drink. They also gave him part of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins, for he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 3 days and nights. Before long, his strength returned. God, David pursued in grace. I don't know about you. If I saw somebody that messed up my house, I'm not going to feed you. Not going to give you lodging. Not going to make you comfortable. You better answer my questions, then I will help you out, but not in the reverse order. David saw me and showed compassion on him, saying he's not one of us, but we're going to help him out. He's part of the enemy. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I don't meet people like me. I'm so glad that God works out that people come into my life that show me grace, give me stuff I do not deserve. David shows up in his enemy's life and blesses him, and the enemy's the one that tore his stuff up. Say, man, because later on he goes, hey, we was out killing it, man. We went this city, went this city, and we burnt that city down. I bet you. David's men were like, let me at him. You being too nice, David. Let me, because they wanted to stone David. What do you think they wanted to do to him? But David was able to keep it at bay and show compassion. He led by example. He led by example. David shows his grace to the enemy that was left behind. Then one of the members of the party that attacked David's camp is left behind. David shows him hospitality, feeds him, and helps him regain his strength. This person was part of the men that raided his place. Verse 14 says, we were on our way back from raiding the Kirites and the Negev, and then the territory of Judah and the land of Caleb, and we had just burned Ziklag. He just told him, hey, man, we just did everything. This is what we did. David asked him to lead him to the ones responsible. David promised not to harm him in return, as he requested. He says, I'll take you there, but don't turn me over to my man. He already left me behind. What are you going to do now that I'll bring you to his doorstep? So he says, don't turn me. David says, I got you. David finds them, and he defeats the enemy, has utter victory. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Grace to those who did not participate. So he's coming back. He has the mighty men that came with him that had the ability and the strength to go, but some of them were unable. But notice, I want you to highlight here in the text, the ones that were too exhausted, the ones that stayed back at the Beth-Besor, they're not described as wicked, lazy, or evil. Nothing like that is talked about them. But yet the ones that spoke ill have an adjective to describe them. Verse 22 says, but some evil troublemakers among David's men say, they didn't go with us, so they can't have any of the plunder we recovered. Give them their wives and children and tell them, be gone. My. We need to be careful that when we are blessed by God, that we don't bless others. When we have received grace, that we don't show others what grace looks like. What is grace? A gift and a blessing. But David said, no, my brothers, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us. He has kept us safe and helped us defeat the band of the raiders that attacked us. Who will listen when you talk like this? We share and share alike. Those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment. From then on, David made this decree and regulation for Israel, and it still followed today. When he arrived at Ziklag, David sent part of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends. Here is a present. Here is a gift. Here is a blessing for you, taken from the Lord's enemies, he said. David blessed his company, all 600. No one was greater, no one was lesser. They all shared alike. David even blessed those who did not go with him. He sent it back to those who said, you blessed me when I couldn't make it. When I was hiding, y'all let me hide it. He sent it to his hiding spots. The places where he was hiding from Saul, he says, y'all, God bless us so good, we got stuff to spare. Let me send it to everybody who's been a blessing to me because y'all were so good to me. How can I show you my gratitude by blessing you? Grace is shown to those who did not work, who did not participate, because it's a gift. A gift is a blessing. A gift is what we do not deserve. Some of us get caught up because we've been saved by God's grace that we think that we're all that in a bag of chips, or you forgot you needed a potato in the first place. God's blessings are still coming forward through the children of Abraham. We are benefiting because of Jesus coming through the tribe of Judah. Judah, you know, the tribe of David. And so we see here this lineage we have, that grace being expressed to us, that David shows us what grace looks like. Grace does not judge, but it forgives. Grace does not condemn, but it restores. Grace unites and does not divide. How do we know this? For it's by grace you have been saved, not by works, so that no man can boast. That's, you can find that in Ephesians 2. Look at verse 8 and 9. We are to respond to God's grace. We are to show God's grace. Look at what happened to David. He had men that couldn't go with him, but they had the same mind, the same goal, but they couldn't make it. He says, y'all rest. Those who are able to go, let us go. He comes back, greets them. Hey, we did it, y'all. Some evil, wicked people in the background saying, they can't get none, David. They didn't go with us. David said, hold up. No, they've been with us from the start. Yes, they could not go, but yet we're going to share alike. Matter of fact, we're not going to only bless them. We're going to bless everybody. Here's the beautiful thing about how God blesses us, and sometimes we forget that he says that, has a man robbed me? Yet you have robbed God in tithes and offering. Bring me into your offerings, into the storehouse, so that you don't have room, and I'll open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing you won't have room for. Matter of fact, Jesus says, I've come and give life more abundantly. This joy I give you, my joy overflow. I want you to understand when God gives you something, it's always more than what you deserve. We preached on this back at Zion about grace, and he told Paul every time he asked for this thorn to be removed from his flesh, he says, my grace is all that you need. Three times he asked a question. Three times he got the same response. My grace is all that. Why is it, God, your grace is all that? Because it's sufficient. It's enough. Matter of fact, it's more than enough. That's why we encourage one another in time of death and in time of mourning, which is the 23rd number of Psalm. And it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Why are we assured it's always going to fall? Because he's better to us than we deserve. We get grace and mercy every day of our life. The times that we have our mind not even got on our agenda. We sing a song sometimes at Zion. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Now I know for sure we got people in there lying. And here it is. It's not that we don't want to have them stayed on mind, but it has to be a choice every morning. I got to get my mind right in the morning. Matter of fact, I remember as a kid when I was going to the hospital, and there's one nurse at her station where I had to get my allergy shots every week. And so I saw that sign every week. And it says, Lord, I've been good today. Have not sinned. I have not drunk. I have not cursed. But I'm about to get out the bed. And so we understand that it's times in our life we realize that, Lord, every time I wake up, I need you to keep my mind straight. What did David do in a time of distress, a time of pain? He was strengthened in the Lord. We need to understand that this gift and this blessing of grace that we have received, that who are we to withhold it for somebody else? Who are we to judge or say, you don't deserve grace, but I do? Who are we to tell somebody that you're not worthy of God's love, but I am? The criminal was on the cross, and Jesus says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He was already condemned by the people, but Christ says, I hear you. I see your heart. You'll be with me. I'm so glad, again, like I said before, that I meet people not like me because I need God's grace in my life. I need to know what mercy feels like and what it looks like. For David, we saw he was chosen by God, but he went through adversity. He went through pain. But through it all, he depended on the Lord. They wanted to stone him. He turns to God. And God answers his prayer. He participates in God's prayer. God blesses him exceedingly and above beyond what David expects or even thinks. He blesses everybody else exceedingly above and beyond what they deserve because he understands what grace looks like. To those who are forgiven much, love much. To those who are forgiven little, love little. So, question is, do you know how much you've been loved? Jesus shows you how much he loves you. This much. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head. For me, for you, he died. That's love. No greater love than this, than a man that lays his life down for another. David shows us what grace looks like. There's somebody in your life that you need to show what grace looks like. You've been blessed. You've been multiplied. You've been increased. Show somebody else how you can bless and give to them because God has prospered you. He has blessed you. And so when you think about how good God has been to you, when you think about how he's helped you to be an overcomer, when you think about that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world, when you think about that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I want you to remember that that's only by his grace. Because you don't deserve it, I don't deserve it, we don't deserve it, but he freely gives it because he loves us this much. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this blessing and this gift of grace, this blessing which is eternal, this blessing that's everlasting, this blessing that is better than we deserve, And so, Lord, we just thank you. Father, there might be someone here who does not know grace. But, Lord, they understand it today and they want to confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and that you defeated death by rising from the grave on the third day. Lord, we thank you. By grace they have been saved. By grace they've been delivered. By grace they've been redeemed. Not by works, because, Lord, we can't work our way into heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you pay the price for our sin, for our iniquities. So, Father, I pray that you will speak to their hearts, speak to their minds as they say, Lord, I need you. I welcome you into my life. I thank you, Lord, for how you love me. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now you've given your life to Christ and you're now amongst other brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we just want to pray this prayer. Lord, forgive us for abusing your grace. Lord, forgive us for taking your grace for granted. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are so merciful and you are so patient, you are so loving. So help us continue to walk better than we have before, that we will be vessels and instruments of your grace and your mercy to others. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
To Calvary, to save a wretch like you and me, that's love.
Praise God. Thank you very much. Comes the time, prayers of the people. Our biblical frame for our prayer this morning is Psalm 112. I think it continues Pastor Samuel's message and also the message and song that we've heard. I'm thinking of even the earlier song, "We Serve a Risen Savior. All people praise the Lord." All praise to you, God. I'm going to just mention from our congregation, Bob Shepherd was in the hospital and he's now at home. So he came home Friday. So we pray for continued healing for him and also for the other people on our prayer, our prayer and care list on the back of the bulletin. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayers. Pastor Samuel, if you would
be lift up a minister at Moore in our prayer. He's not with us, but being nursed back to health in Chicago. And so we solicit your prayers for his healing and recovery. Amen.
In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. Do all of you have a bulletin? Please take your bulletin. If you don't, Steve has some extras. You could raise your hand. Make sure you have one. Psalm 112 continues the message of Psalm 111:10, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." Psalm 112 describes those who respect God's existence and who live accordingly. As we look forward to this week ahead, we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit, who gives us power and capability also to live as God's children and to extend grace. We will pray the bold print all together. Friends, let us continue in prayer. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of this day, for gathering us together and for your presence. Thank you for our message about God's gracious help, which will continue to grow in our hearts this week. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. Holy Spirit, help us to conduct ourselves with generosity and grace and justice this week. Bring our risen Lord Jesus into all our contexts. We want to be remembered as persons and communities of love and compassion. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. We pray for healing that you bring in many ways for those of our congregation, those who have been listed and others, in the hospital, nursing homes, and recovering at home. We continue together. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. We pray for peace, peace with justice in your world that you love. We pray for all leaders, for wisdom and concern for the poor and marginalized, and concern for the earth. Thank you for all who work for the welfare of community. We pray for our friends and partners in other countries. We bring other concerns and praises we carry in our hearts. All praise is yours, Lord. Now we pray together with Jesus for the growth of God's kingdom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. Grace doesn't always fit in. Participate in your prayers. They all shared alike some of the things this morning that struck me. And Pastor Sam, I am glad to meet people like you. All right. So we'll move into a moment in mission. Recently, we took a trip to Memphis, Tennessee.